Blog Talk Radio.
כל אדם מחפש מקומות ונופים חדשים בעולם. הוא חוצה יבשות וימים במסע של הנפש לשם. על כנפי מחוזות הדמיון הוא מפליג בספינה אל הים. אך בסוף זה הלב, הלב שמוביל, מוביל אותנו לשם. כל הדרכים, השבילים, הכבישים, השפטים מובילים לירושלים. כל התפילות, הדמעות, בקשות, מחשבות מובילות לירושלים. כל השירים, פיוטים, מזמורים, סיפורים כולם לירושלים, ירושלים שבלב. כל הארץ, שפות העמים, היא אורו של עולם. על שבעת הערים היא עומדת ונמצאת בחלומות של כולם. מקצוות התבל הם עושים עיניהם, המסע לא הושלם. כי בסוף זה הלב, רק הלב שמוביל, מוביל את כולנו לשם. כל הדרכים, השבילים, הכבישים, השבטים מובילים לי שלנים. כל התפילות, הדמעות, בקשות, מחשבות מובילות לירושלים. כל השירים, פיוטים, מזמורים, סיפורים כולם לירושלים, ירושלים
night, the brand new program that we talked about all last week. Get excited. We're here with Empowering Lives and Shaping Destinies with the host herself, Dr. Yvette Kinnerick. Let's give a nice hand and welcome her to the studio. Okay, she'll be on in a minute, and in a minute we'll just have a short, brief commercial, and we'll bring her on as well. In 1 minute there. Okay.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
And we're back in Empowering Lives and Shaping Destinies with the host herself, Dr. Yvette Panerick. Let's give her a nice welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Robinson, and good night to all. I want to say good evening to all our listeners and to say it is a great pleasure for me to be with you tonight. My name is Dr. Yvette Panerick, and I am your host and sponsor of tonight's radio program, Empowering Lives and Shaping Destinies. Well, this is my very first program that I will, and it is my maiden voyage. In the first few series, I will be discussing financial empowerment. My focus will bring together much of my training and research. I will take a multifaceted or multidisciplinary approach. I will be including information from history, theology, clinical neuropsychology, quantum physics, mental entanglement, and field theory, just to name a few. So please take a minute and call up at least two of your friends and let them know that some good stuff is going down here tonight and that they want to be listening. To join in, have them call 347-857-1311, or they can log in by going to https://www.blogtalkradio.com/theneonation. And we're glad to have you with us here tonight. In the studio with me is Dr. Ron Robinson and Dr. James Winborne. And I want to thank both gentlemen for welcoming me into the fold. I am proud to be included as a member of the New Nation Project, and together we will be doing great things, not just here in the United States, but globally. So they're here to hold my hands on this very first broadcast. So I will put them on the spot, and I will ask them to say goodnight to our listeners and to just share some thoughts about what we will be expecting on the program.
Oh, good night, everyone. This is Ron Robinson, and the program is going to explore many, many opportunities for one to grow in terms of your personal growth, in terms of your physical growth, in terms of your social and economic growth, and your academic growth, because you're going to learn a lot about yourselves and learn a lot about what you're doing in life. One of the major issues, and I was telling Dr. Panerick, that empowering lives and shaping destinies is such a tremendous need in today's society. People are always looking for self-improvement books, self-improvement tapes, self-improvement seminars, webinars, classes. People are always looking to self-improve. Even those people whom we might think that look like they have achieved everything in life, they have a perfect job, perfect income, perfect wife, kids, homes, cars, trips, you know, that their life like is very financial stable. But nevertheless, they all are also looking to improve themselves. And this is what I'm seeing this program. I'm seeing what Dr. Clary's been doing over the years. She's been on my program over several years. And when she comes on, she just brings a host of information about metaphysics, psychology, sociology, academics, and as well as financial growth as well, financial opportunities and things of that sort. So I'm just saying it's a fantastic program, and I look forward to more and more and more and more and more as we go along and continue down this road of just changing the lives of God's people here in the U.S. and as well as abroad, because you reach out to the Caribbean, Africa, and Europe as well, Asia, you get calls from those places as well. So fantastic opportunity. I know Dr. Wimborn probably be a little late coming on. He had a meeting prior, and so when he comes on, I will cue you to that he's there.
Thank you, Dr. Rob. When Dr. Rob offered to come on to the show to just help me through seeing this is my maiden voyage, I said to him, he said, Dr. Wimborn will hold one hand and I will hold the other. And I said to him, I don't want to be quartered or halved. And he didn't quite know what I meant, so I decided to tell him just a typical story. Now, before I go into the story, I want to say that there are some documents that are no longer on the internet. And there are some truths that are being hidden as quickly as possible. But as we continue to seek information, the truth will come to us in different forms. And when I was researching to write the historical volumes, I would have some very strange experiences. I would go onto a website, and I would find some deep secrets, and I would begin to research it, and then suddenly my computer would freeze up, and to prevent any mischief happening to the work I was doing, I would pull the plug out, and I would shut the computer down really quickly. But as soon as I was done, and I got back onto the internet, the information was gone. The sites disappeared. They were missing. Seriously removed, and I could never find them again. And hiding information and hiding the truth is something that we have witnessed, and we are here to uncover the truth. So I can guarantee you that if you were to look for some kind of information, you will never find them, or your likelihood of finding them would mean that you had to do a lot of deep, very, very deep searching to find the information. So in slavery days, one of the ways to kill slaves was through quartering them. And this was done by tying the slaves to four horses, one to each arm, one to each leg. And then the horses were spurred on to race all in different directions, and it pulled the slaves apart. That was never a pretty sight. But the other slaves were always forced to witness the experiences of the slave that was being punished. And it was to warn them that, listen, if you try this, or if you try doing what this one did, your case would be his lot or worse. And those were some of the very, very horrible things that was done to African enslaved persons. Now, going back to the previous song that we listened to, it's a song by Mr. Abraham Friedman. Mr. Friedman is a Kunen, or a Levitical priest from the Aaronic heritage. Mr. Fried, as he is more popularly called, is an American-born musical entertainer who currently lives in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. And the title that you were listening to is Jerusalem is in My Heart. Jerusalem, the City of Peace. Bob Marley, in his song War, said that we will not know peace until every human is brought out of subhuman bondage to their place of freedom and, might I add, a rightful inheritance. And this is what we'll be talking about quite a lot, so that those of us who are listening will come into their rightful place and being the heirs and the possessors of this planet as we were designed to be. So tonight begins the fourth day of Sukkot. And those of you that are close to me might know that I am Jewish and I follow the traditions of Judaism with emphasis on the Hasidic traditions. Hasidic means the chastity or purity. And it is an ever ongoing thirst and quest for being pure. And the song Jerusalem in My Heart is saying that we are all looking for a place of peace. And we search and we search all over, but we are only looking for the City of Peace, Yerushalayim, Shebali. So one of your questions would be, what is this girl of color, this African descendant person born in the Caribbean, why would she have a call or a desire to join or to follow a tradition such as Judaism? Well, I might add that based on my research, I have substantial evidence to believe that not only do I follow Judaism, but there is substantial evidence that I might have been born and have Jewish blood in me, and so might be many of us that are listening. The truth is, most of the Jews, most of the slaves that were brought to the Caribbean came from the Bight of Benin, the Niger Delta. Those were the major slave trading areas. And what we are finding out is that a large majority of the slaves that were brought to the Caribbean and to the Americas, the Yorubas and the Ifus and the Ifiks and the Ijaws and the Fon and Fulanis, a lot of the core members that were brought as slaves were Jewish. And it piqued an interest in me that there might be more than meets the eye when it comes to the level of abuse and wickedness and oppression that is faced by the African person both at home and in the diaspora. So as we delve into the topics that I will be discussing, we will go a little bit more into some of the real reasons why we might be experiencing some of the issues that we're seeing. Now, the burning questions concerning the true inheritance of the earth is like an elephant going in the room. There is increasing evidence that's coming to the forefront. And with each passing day, these bits of information, the growing body of information that we have been witnessing, is telling us that what we have been taught in schools and in religions, et cetera, are lies and half-truths at most. So I believe that there is coming a time in the very near future when lies and half-truths concerning human heritage will and must come to light. Ooh.
Good morning or evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster. Could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hey, going round, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it's gone too.
Music, and that of course was not Stevie Wonder in high definition. I was able to find a very, very old version. I think it would have been the original version of this song, so I played it for us tonight. So if you have not yet called your friends, this is the time to do so. And I'm thinking here about a very funny story that I heard. A young woman went to her son's mother and complained to her that she was considering divorcing the husband because the husband brought his friends home and he and his friends smoked all the weed and left nothing for her, the weed, the marijuana. So don't be like that young man who smoked all the marijuana and didn't invite his friends. You need to call your friends and tell them there is good stuff going on here tonight and they should come on and listen. And the number again to call in is 347-857-1311. And again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Neon Nation. And we'll be opening up the lines in just a little bit to hear from you. But I want to continue with what I was talking about earlier on. And I said earlier on that the world will not know peace until every human is relieved from this state of subhuman bondage. So it is not cool, it is not good for the world, for Africa to not know peace, for African descendants to not be in their rightful place. So if you are non-African and you're listening in on this program, your peace depends on the African continent and the descendants of Africans and Africans at home and in the diaspora. Your peace depends on their peace, and you should do everything in your power to ensure that they get their peace, because in their peace, there will be your peace, and you will be able to enter into the holy city, Jerusalem, the city of peace. So, I said earlier on that when we look at the evidence of the catchment of slaves that were brought to the region, it becomes quite evident that many of the slaves that were brought in, they were brought from regions where there were Jewish slaves and they were Jewish slaves by blood. We'll talk more about that later on in this program or in the next program. Now, I'm going to make a little bit of distinction here. As a historian, because that's one of my portfolios, I recognize South, Central, and North America and the Caribbean as one contiguous geographic location. And when I talk about the Americas, or I talk about African Americans, I am talking about the entire catchment region all the way down to Brazil and lower down Buenos Aires, all of those nations where the descendants of slaves lived. Now, I also refer to it as the New World. And in reality, this region is not the New World. There is evidence that more than 500 years before Columbus ever set foot on the soil in this region, that Africans were living in the region. They were traversing the Atlantic Ocean, and they were going back to Europe and to Africa across the Atlantic Ocean. And it was Africans who told Columbus how to get to the New World, or what he would call the New World. And I'm still saying New World. We celebrated Columbus Day just about 2 days ago. And it's very, very disturbing because there are so many lies that this man told in his journal, in the slave journal. He was writing, "We traveled 12 knots today, but I told the men 7. So he was documenting his own lies, and those lies have been uncovered, and it's here to point a finger at him and those that will perpetuate lies in history. Now, when we look at the plight of Africans at home and in the diaspora, we see a picture that defies reason and understanding. So why do I say it defies reason and understanding? The plight of the African person is such that when you try to reason the cause of it, or you try to follow some kind of logic to understand why this is happening, it just does not add up. And I would say that it defies the law of probability. What is the law of probability? Well, I'm going to break it down very simple. If you had a coin with heads on one side and tails on the other side, and you toss that coin up 10 times, the likelihood that it will fall on heads 5 times and fall on tails 5 times is the probability. So it's a 50-50 chance, and that's the probability of it happening. If it fell on tails every time, or if it fell on heads every time, then it is no longer the law of probability that is functioning. It is some other kind of thing that's happening. It might be rigged. The coin might have only tails, or the coin might have only heads. But for it to fall on heads over and over again, it's saying that something outside the ordinary is happening. Why am I applying the law of probability to the plight of the African person, both at home and abroad, at home and in the diaspora? What we are finding is that in every country that the Africans go to, in every generation, you are seeing this oppression and evil and perpetual wickedness being perpetrated against the African person. So because it's happening in every country you go into, and you look at the plight, you look at Africans and their descendants, or you look okay, you say we're going to go into the 15th century, and then into the 16th, and then into the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, the 21st century. And in every century, you're seeing this thing coming up over and over again. Then something is happening. Some people say that the Africans are cursed. They are the sons of Ham. We're going to get into that later on. Why not say they are blessed? They might have been chosen for blessings. And maybe that's why they're being persecuted and abused wherever they find themselves. And this must come to an end. I'm just going to talk a little bit about our work in the Kingdom of Mana. In my role in the Kingdom of Mana, my purpose is to assist in bringing assistance to every person on the planet. And I have a cry for the oppressed. I have a cry for those that are suffering and for people who are abused. Now, one might say that the experiences of Asians or people from India and Pakistan, or you might say that these people are also oppressed and there is abject poverty that we see in the lives of many, many, many people around the planet. But I would agree with you. I will agree with you that their plight is very bad and they are being oppressed. But there is a general oppression that is felt by all humans that are not part of the 1%. Elite. However, when one looks at the plight of Africans, blacks, and persons of color, the level of oppression and wickedness take on a different color. Asians, Indians, Pakistanis, indigenous people, and other people of color have been oppressed and are being oppressed. However, the oppression that these people of color face is different from their experience, from that experienced by Africans and blacks. It seems that in every nation where they find themselves, they become the objects of oppression and abuse. Not only is this happening everywhere, but it is happening in every generation and time. So then I looked at some of the statistics from the Bureau Center for Statistics. And this is what I found. In the U.S., Asians comprise 5.1% of the U.S. population. However, they have the highest median household income, higher than whites, higher than Caucasians, higher than European descendants. When I talk about Asian Indians, I'm not talking about indigenous Indians because they have their own tragedies that they face and have faced. I'm talking now about Asian Indians, people from Pakistan and so on. What I found in my research is that Asian Indians, they earn three times more than African Americans. The statistics, the Bureau of Statistics have identified 107 minorities, and African American is one of those minorities. There are 75 ethnic groups who earn more money than the average African American. What these figures suggest is that there is access to wealth and opportunity. The level might not be available to African Americans. So I'll go back to the oppression and the poverty we see in Asia, and we see in India, and we see in Pakistan. However, when we have people from this part of the world migrating to the North America, to Canada, and to the United States, they excel. And they rise, and they rise above other people, other minority groups. So it is telling me that they have access. And it means that that's different for them than for the African person that was born in America. And I know that there are burning questions. I see a lot of people on the dashboard, and we will come to you and we will open up your mic so that you can ask your questions or give your comments. But I will carry on just a little bit more. So there is also another troubling statistic. It has always worried me. And the statistics is that in the United States, the African-American population is nearly 12%. It does not add up. It just does not add up, and I'll tell you why. In slave societies, because the slaves were the laborer in a labor-intensive agriculture and industrial era, there were always more laborers than the people at the top. So in the average slave society, slaves would outnumber the whites, Caucasians, the ruling class, by 3-1. Suddenly that is reversed, and the population doesn't seem to be growing. Now, when we look at population growth, we know that during slavery, the growth, population growth rate of the African enslaved was sometimes as high as 67%. And what that meant was that they were bringing in slaves to replace the ones that that were here. But they were also impregnating slaves so that they could have laborers that they didn't have to pay for. And this was happening through rape and near rape and all kinds of abuses to the female slaves. Well, when you look at the normal growth rate of the population, the growth rate of African Americans is suggesting that they're either dying very quickly or early. They are probably not procreating as well as other races. They might have high infant mortality, or the statistics are lying, because we can lie with statistics. So I'm going to share with you something that I learned while I was doing my recent research on my book on aggression in proximity relationships. I began trying to hunt down some final statistics, and I couldn't find much statistics on aggression, things such as domestic violence and rape and so on. I just couldn't find it. So I kept looking more closely at the sources. And what I learned is that any real data was accumulated back in 1991. And all the numbers that the United Nations and the World Health Organization and those groups were producing were merely statistical analysis based on that 1991 data. One, we know it is virtually impossible to do a head count of everyone. It's a little easier if you can count birth and death and whatever is identified when the person gives birth. And even those records, it's a bit challenging to get all of those records for a population of over 300 million persons. But when we look back at the fact that in the years just after slavery, in the Reconstruction era, the slave population was just about 10 million. And after nearly 200 years, we're seeing that, it's actually more than 200 years, after the American War of Independence. We are seeing that the population has only grown, maybe triple itself, is just about 41 million persons in the of African descent in the region. What it is saying is that something is wrong with the statistics. And I am proposing that, and I hope someone would take the study up and delve some more into this. But I found out as I was researching, I went back and I looked at the 3/5 compromise. And what the 3/5 compromise was, it was a legislation that was passed which determined that the states, in the states, especially those states where there were high numbers of slaves, they would only count 3/5 of the slave population to determine how many seats that they're going to have in the lower house or in the legislative house. Now, that might seem to be just another piece of legislation, but it was based on a very, very nefarious belief that the African person was only worth 1/3 of a white person. So you needed 3 African slaves to make up 1 Caucasian. In other words, African man is only 1/3 of a man. Before we open up the mics, I would play one of my very favorite songs, and we are now going to listen to Mr. Barry Weber.
A bit of a little 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 bit
Switchboard is like lit up, and we will now open your mics so we can hear from you. Dr. Robinson.
Open 702-918. Your mic is open. I guess that person wants to listen. Are you there? 702-918. Okay. We'll open 786-800. 786-800, your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself as well.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yes,
all
we
right.
are hearing you.
All right. Good evening. Good evening, Dr. Yvette. And good evening. It's a pleasure to be listening to you. My first time on your show is very informative. By the way, it's my name is Cleve. And I'm calling in for the first time and listening as well for the first time. I got a couple of questions for you. As it relates to the statistic, you spoke about how you cannot rely on the statistic where they're counting African because of how they used to count African, three African to one white person makes up an individual. It's kind of funny that you said that because on the globe, we see the size of the globe compared to the size of Africa compared to the size of other country. And I was told that was also the size of Africa is incorrect. It's three times the size of what it is. And I just thought, you know, maybe a comment on that. Is that a coincidence or is that something that was designed to say something? And I just wondered if you could comment on that.
Keith, it's nice to be talking with you tonight. And what a very, very thoughtful question that you presenting to us. And there are a lot of lies that are perpetrated. I asked a very, very logical-minded person, well, how did we plot all the regions of the world? How did we know the outline of the coast and so on? And he said, well, you know, there are satellite pictures. Now, back in the 1990s, I had a very spiritual experience. And based on that experience, I realized that I had to have been way, 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 way up in the heavens to have seen what I was seeing. And I've had those experiences more than once. But when you get on a plane and you are 35,000 feet above the earth, you never see the outline of an entire country like that unless it's a very small island. So in order to plot the coastline and to plot everything the way it is, we have to ask ourselves what instruments are being used and how are those instruments being used now. There's some people who say, oh, you're a foolish woman. You're just talking nonsense. You don't understand the science. And we say, okay, yes, but I'm a logical person. I have a logical mind, and I ask logical questions the same way you're asking logical questions. And it is a logical question, and I am also telling you what my logical thoughts and beliefs are based on your very, very stirring question. Back to you, Mr. Key.
I thank you for that. My second question is relating to our democratic system. We know that we've messed up on the demographics, so there are more people, as you say, than is in the demographic. But I want to make a suggestion concerning our democratic system. If the numbers are incorrect and it's been hidden, and now the system is one vote to every person, and let's say there were these people were hiding behind the other, you know, two people, now wouldn't that create a problem for the democratic system where everyone now deserve a vote? And could it be that we see the suppression of the people being not able to vote in some of these black regions, because it seems like now that you have the right and every person has one vote, it would upset the democratic system, where you have that two-thirds of person that was not counted for, they've been having children for years and coming out in the society. Now they have votes, and we see the suppression of the votes in that particular area in our country. Could you speak to that?
Mr. Cleve, I had a big laugh, what I will call a belly laugh, when Mrs. Clinton lost the election. And you might say, well, why would you laugh about something like that? I laughed, and I thought it served them right, because they were in power for so many times and so many times in office, and they didn't fix it. She lost the election even though she had most of the votes. However, the votes she got was from the wrong people. So in those areas, right, in those areas where the seats were determined based on the numbers of, it was still relying on the district compromise. So the electoral college is divided up in such a way that it still reflects the 3/5 compromise. So even though she had the majority vote, the people who voted were the wrong people. They were on the wrong side of the fence, and that's why she lost the election.
Now, we see it in the demographics. We see it in our democracy. There's one other thing I wanted to maybe question I want to ask. And that is, if we see it in those two areas, what about the economic, right? And what about the economic fallout? Is it done in the same way economically, where certain funds or in certain area are allowed to be moved easier by one's postal code, by one's so certain money goes into the area where people would say we're only putting that much money in this postal code, right? Even though we have the law of fair lending and so on and so forth, wouldn't all of that reflect on the financial attitude or the financial well-being and trickle down to the individual today in our present economy?
The evidence is clear. The evidence okay. is clear. The median household income of the African-American person is about $43,000. And that is very often counting two incomes and maybe other people living in the household. And then we move to Asians, Indians who are living here in the U.S., and they are fairly recent migrants, and their median income is $120,000 a year. It's the unfairness is evident. Now, when I talk about financial empowerment, all I'm doing today is giving some background information. In coming up in this episode or in subsequent episodes, I'm going to be talking about genetics. I'm going to be talking about the spirit of a person. In fact, I'll just talk about that now. There is a theory called the theory of mind. And the theory of mind says that our system, our mind, what we call the mind, could be divided into three areas. There would be about 2-3% very, very deep down in the unconscious, or what I would call the non-conscious, because that never comes up to the forefront. It never comes up into the mind or our brain or our cognition. And then there is another percent, which is about 88%. So the 86% plus the 2% makes up 88%. And then the top part of the brain, which is just about 7%, and then there is another area called the area where we reason things out. And this is how the mind works. That 88% exerts a greater amount of influence than the what's in our cognition, which only makes up between 7-9 and at most 12%. So what the theory is saying is that the theory of mind is saying that this 88% of the human mind. And let me lay some groundwork on what we mean when we talk about mind. Now, a lot of theories that have been presented are theories that are just theories. People think about it and they produce it, and they're not necessarily based on evidence or on research. It's just the theory of mind. And then in modern times, we have a greater emphasis on evidence and so on. So when we talk about the brain is the hardware and the neurochemicals, which is the soul, and the neuroelectricity, which makes up the bulk of your spirit. So that's the functionality of the brain. So in the brain, we have a part of the brain called the memory. And there are several areas responsible for the memory. So when people talk about the mind, they are actually talking about the memory system and how the memory system works. And the 7% that is at the top, or the 12% that we know about, is the cognition, or the area of the brain where we reason things, reprocess it, and we act based on what we reason. So what is being said is that 88% of the memory, it is so deep-rooted that it never comes to the forefront. And there is 2%, 2 to 5% there that will never ever come to the forefront. I am proposing, and I have proposed, that part that never comes to the forefront, that is where generational memory is stored. So in my current research, I uncovered from my research that when the child is a fetus in the womb, the child is interfacing directly with the atmosphere or the spirit realm. So before the eggs come down from the fallopian tube into the womb for it to be fertilized, the father sends a message to the woman through the atmosphere, through the spirit realm, through the via the pineal gland, and tells the woman, bring the egg down, I'm ready to fertilize it. And the egg comes down. So when the egg comes down, it already has encoding or scripts from the father. Of course, if the man who sends the message is the same one she slept with and got pregnant for, because one man can send the message, his encoding is there, and another man slips in and gets pregnant. So you have conflicting kinds of behaviors, and children come out and the parents say, he's neither like none of us, she's neither like him or like me. I don't know where this child has gotten this kind of behavior from. Yes, he got it from the other man down the street, right? And that you suddenly forgot about. However, that is a diversion. But the fetus, pineal gland, which is one of the primary parts of the brain that picks up information from the atmosphere, the pineal gland begins to show up from 23 days old, so before the mother knows that she's pregnant. The pineal gland is already picking up things from the atmosphere. That goes down inside what I would call the primitive brain region or the primitive memory. But I also learned that genetics, and we're going to talk about genetics one time in one of these episodes, and I'm going to tell you that none of us have genes inside of us. It's a concept. And none of us have DNA either, and they need to stop telling people what's in your DNA because they're lying to us, unless they themselves are ignorant of what that really means. So this fetus has generational memory, but I'll tell you where it gets the generational memory from the spirit realm, and it's born with that. So when a society has for many centuries inculcated that you are inferior and another person is superior, that is in your primitive memory, and it exerts a greater influence on your life, interferes with your ability to be successful. It takes the hand of God and superhuman effort to raise you from where you are to where you should be. So when we talk about financial empowerment, my aim is to provide information, knowledge that will change your life, that will change your mind, will change the way you think. Because when truth comes, it shines a light and it dispels evil and it dispels ignorance. Misinformation, half-truths and lies are all misinformation. And guess what? It affects the way your brain behaves. When a person lies, there are parts of the brain that starts firing in different directions, and that person will not perform as well as if that person operated in the truth. And that's the reason why we need to know the truth about our heritage. So in answering your question, the financial scheme of things that has been perpetrated against the African person, both at home, and when I say at home, I mean in Africa and in diaspora, I mean everywhere else on the planet, it cannot be good for the people of this planet, because you cannot have one group that is so dispossessed over and over and over again. You are creating a powder keg, and it is not good for you. And therefore, it is in the interest of all of us, regardless of what side of the fence we're sitting on, or if we're sitting on the fence, take sides and say, we will stand for justice and for righteousness and for goodness and for holiness and for purity, because it is not good for us to live in a place and in a time that is not wholesome to the people of this world.
Okay, great, great. We got a pull house here. We're going to open up 646-345. 646-345, your mic is open. Your mic is open. You have to unmute yourself. You're there?
Yes.
You're on with Dr. Yvette Kanerick. You have a question?
I was trying to talk about Tigray. I don't know if you are talking about the conflict in Ethiopia.
Dr. Kanerick?
Yes, I wasn't quite sure of the question that was asked.
He said the conflict in Ethiopia between Tigray people and Ethiopian government. He wants to hear your opinion.
You know, in Africa, one of the things that was done in 1881, a group of men sat down in Berlin, and they had a map of Africa, and they got pencils and a ruler, and they carved up Africa. It was deliberately done to separate tribes and people and make sure that there was hostility that continued for many centuries afterwards. Colonials actually boasted that they could leave a country and they could have left for 100 years, but they would have left so much strife that the war will continue over and over and over again, because the people were set up to fight each other. And that was one of the things that was done. So we see a lot of conflicts, not just in Ethiopia, but we see conflicts, sometimes it presents itself as religious conflict. Sometimes it is masked as a tribal conflict, but the conflict boils down to the fact that there is a lack of access, and the people are not treated equally, and there are people who are given more and others are given less, and those conditions could never ever be good conditions for anyone, anywhere, or any country, anywhere on the planet.
Are you still there, sir?
Yes, yes. I don't know if she knows exactly what is happening in Ethiopia and Tigray. It's not fighting each other. It's a blockade. It's no food and no medicine. 7 million people, they starvation, hunger, and school is damaged, infrastructure is bombing, the government and the Eritrean government and the Ethiopian government is doing genocides, attending cleansing. It's not fighting each other, not conflict. It's a genocide.
Sir, without giving much information or information that should not be given out publicly like this, there is no need for anybody on this planet, for any child on this planet, for any human on this planet to not have everything that they need, because there is abundance that has been given and that is sitting there just for the people in authority to do the right thing. And I could assure you that that situation will be fixed very quickly, very promptly, and very efficiently. We will not sit back and allow these kinds of wickedness to prevail. We're not going to allow that. We will do something about it. And that should be of some comfort to you.
Did you hear, sir?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. I just wanted you guys to Google Tigray and check it deep. What's going on at this time? A lot of children, a lot of women get raped, a lot of children starving and dying because of we are black. Nobody pay attention in Ethiopia, Tigray. So please share with others and get deep more and find out what's going on and help us, because we're losing 500,000 people because of the war now. So I just want, but thank you. Thank you for the, you know, the suggestions, the comments you have. Thank you so much.
We're going to open up 520-900, 520-900. Your mic is open.
Good night. Good night.
Yes, good night. We are hearing you. Good night. Good night. You are on the air. We are hearing you. Five to 09-00. We are hearing you.
Ma'am, can you repeat your question?
Greetings. I didn't really question.
I'm sorry. Say it again. Okay, we're going to open up. Your mic is open.
Dr.
Yvette
Merritt. Good afternoon. How are you, Reverend Ron and the team? This is Cynthia Cox from the Bronx, New York. Just want to share some things that mercy want to give God all the praise and thank him for another day. I was just hearing a gentleman talking about something happening in his country, so we're going to lift you up in prayer. Just want to share some things that's happening right now. I don't know if you're aware of the solar system where you can save money on your electric bill. It is, I'm sharing, I'm in the second largest company in the world, So right now I want to be able to share that with each and everyone that wants to learn more about it. I can share with you the website, or you can email me. My number, if you would like to call, would be 347-883-0600, 347-886-0600. And my email is amazingcox2020@gmail.com. amazingcox2020@gmail.com. And also, you can learn more about it. It will save you a lot of money on your electric bill. So that's where I'm at with sharing information. So thank you for letting me share, Brother Reverend Ron. God bless you guys. Have a great night.
Okay, we're going to try to open 702-918. Your mic is open.
Dr. Koenig, I was listening to the subject of the effect of embryo by the environments, whether it's the communication and or other input that embryo gets affected. I have a question. Would it be possible to develop techniques that after the birth of embryo, after the birth of the fetus, would be able to utilize techniques that either advance the mind / spirit and brain of a fetus and a child by inputting specific information and data?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes, yes. You made reference that embryos are affected, mainly human embryos are affected by the environmental either vibration or inputs of different kinds. My question is, was it possible to develop techniques in order to retrain a new fetus brain into a more directed process rather than having the vibration or the input that they had while in during the child, not big one during the fetal period, it would continuously affect them? Can we make a change on the spot by training the brain or affecting the kind of, which eventually affects the spirituality?
The answer to that is yes. But the extent of change that could happen is curtailed, and it is, there are some parameters that affect the extent to which there could be mushrooming of new cells and regeneration of cells and the promotion of cells. And yes, that is so. But it seems as though while in utero, the fetus also has a life script that is written on the cells, and so some illnesses, there's a hypothesis called the Barker hypothesis, which is the fetal origin of adult diseases. I sort of extended that in my work to be called the fetal origin of adult disorders, because there is a writing that happens in the brain that preconditions certain kinds of illnesses. So what we call lifestyle illnesses actually encoded in the brain. When I was talking a little bit earlier on about the different parts of the brain and the memory and so on, one of the things that I didn't say was that when the brain, the fetus is developing, there are areas where you would have sufficient volume, when we say golden, we mean having enough cells in that area of in certain areas of the brain. So some people are born with not enough areas. Some people are born with not enough neurons lead to make the right kind of pathways in the brain. So fetal experiences can curtail what happens in the life of the person. We are saying that a positive environment could make positive changes, improve the amount of neurons that might grow or the glial cells or so on. But still, there are parameters that delineate how far and how much that can grow and how much improvement could be made by the environment alone.
Well, thank you. That's good. Thank you.
And thank you, Dr. Cyrus, for joining in with us tonight.
If I may just get a slight observation of something you mentioned earlier about African Americans in the economic depravity in terms of African Americans having a lower economic base than newer immigrants to North America. I know it's psychosocial, but also I wanted to ask, the laws have been written from the beginning of time. The Constitution, the judicial laws, the federal laws, the laws in terms that determines a person's ability to uplift themselves socially in a structure like this democracy that we say we have and this free enterprise system. The laws have been written against the enslaved person that was brought here to North America. Is that also conducive to that economic situation?
Yes, Dr. Ronnie. And this is a very important observation that you're making. The reason why I'm saying is it's an important observation is this. When a child does not have enough, let's say they don't have enough hippocampal volume. The hippocampi is a part of the brain that is responsible for direction, not just going east or west. It's a part of the brain that tells you don't go down that road today because it has gone forward and it has observed that there is an accident or so, but you didn't listen and you went down and said, oh, you know, something told me I shouldn't come down here. That's a hippocampi, that's at work. So when people don't have high hippocampal volume, they're not able to make the right kinds of decisions, or they are not very adept at decision-making or effective functioning. And those things affect the way the level of success that we have. So when we have socioeconomic policies and practices that are negatively impacting one race over another, it has neurological consequences for everyone. I'll tell you why. We have a very special part of the brain. One is called in the temporal lobe. And one part of that brain is for moral processing. And the other part is for conscience processing. Conscience processing is different from moral processing. Conscience processing is something that happens independent of what you are taught morally. And children are born with it. Children demonstrate that they have a conscience from as early as 4 weeks old. So we also know that if someone experienced, and this is research, it is scientifically proven, that if one generation has a negative experience, either on the mother or the father's side, because the father does impact their fetus, that negative experience will trickle down to four generations. So if the fourth generation never experienced the negative experience that happened four generations before, the fourth generation will demonstrate neurological insults and compromises that is related to the negative environment that was experienced four generations ago. So let me tie this in with the moral and the conscience processing. So when a person is told that they are inferior, they are subhuman, they are one third of a man in four generations back, that bit of information is still present four generations down the road, and somewhere along the line, by the time the fourth generation happens, someone might slip up in those generations to push the negativity down to 10 generations. So we have this unique situation that is happening, but the conscience knows right from wrong, independent on what it experienced or what it was taught. So when there is this dissonance, a person is told, you are inferior. It's in the primitive mind. They're not even aware of it. When it comes to the way their conscience is processing, it is warped. When conscience processing is out of whack, the performance of the person declines. So studies were done using university students. And the university students were exposed to bad situations where they made bad moral judgments or bad conscience judgments. They performed worse in their exam than before they were exposed to that. They performed less favorably than a control group who was not open to the same issues of conscience processing. It is in our interest to live pure, to hold the truth, and so on. So one. So we say in the black person's mind, whether it came down from four generations, five generations, that you are inferior. Your conscience knows differently, but because this is in your primitive mind and you're acting based on what your primitive mind is, your conscience processing and subsequent moral processing is out of whack, right? But it doesn't stop there. You're interfacing in a society with all different colors, all different races, all different ethnic groups. But what you believe is going to impinge on the interaction you have with other people from other ethnic groups. So guess what? You would throw their conscience processing off as well, and you're going to interfere with their conscience and the way they process. It is in the interest of everyone that every person on this planet, and going back to the previous caller who talked about Tigray, it is in the interest of everyone on this planet that everyone on this planet be given full freedom. Back to you, Dr. Rob.
Thank you so much. We're going to open up 914-330. 914-330. Your mic is open. You're with Dr. Yvette Canary.
And it's been some very interesting information about the regeneration of the brain and fetuses and things of that nature. This is very, very interesting information that I just heard. And I don't know, in terms of, as the sister was saying, that certain negative things that are experienced by one person can be felt 1-5 generations in the future. Yeah, I guess that can have some effect on a person's future, but ultimately it depends on how determined a person is to make it. We as a people in this country, I'm speaking of myself for being a Afro-American man that has come up in America and have dealt with all types of racism and all types of different types of ways of trying to suppress us, I guess I developed a type of mentality to motivate, become self-motivated, to overcome the obstacles no matter what. So I understand what the sister's saying, but I don't 100% agree with her, because I feel as though we as a people, we've been taught to endure and succeed no matter what, because we've had all kind of obstacles thrown at us on a regular basis in this country, because we've been dealing with a lot of extreme racism. And yes, we've experienced a lot of misfortunes, a lot of pain, a lot of put downs, a lot of suppression, but as my grandmother says, only the strong survive. So I've been one of the fortunate to be able to sustain beyond obstacles. And that's one of the things that I admire about Dr. Robinson, who's been a tremendous inspiration to me, as well as Dr. Benjamin. So I'll turn the mic back over to, that's my take on what I've heard. I would like to hear a little bit more about what the doctor was saying. If there's a website or a way that we can contact her, I would like to know more information. Thank you very much.
And yes, my website is tanyel.net.
Hold on one second. Let me get a pen.
And you can take that, please.
Okay.
So
okay,
I'll start again. It is C as in Charlie.
I'm sorry? Okay.
H as in Harry.
Okay. H as in Harry.
H as in Harry. A as in Adam.
Okay.
Y as in Yolanda. E as in Early. And L as in Lovely. .net.
.net. Okay.
And
thank
from
you
my
very
website,
much.
You can send me, you can fill out the contact form. It will come to me and I will respond to you.
Okay. And what's your name again? Your name?
I am Dr. Yvette Kinnerick. And my
Yvette?
Name is spelled Y. Yes. I'll spell my name, because if you type my name in Google, you will get quite a bit of information coming up on me, and you're going to see some of the books that I've written. So it is Y as in Yellow, V as in Victor, E as in Early, T as in Telephone, T as in Tarko, E as in Early. And my last name is Kinnerick, K as in Kentucky, A as in Adam, N as in Nancy, A as in Adam, R as in Richard, I as in Iceland, C as in Canada, and K as in Kentucky. So you could type my name into Google, and you will see information there. And you can also go onto my website, and you can look at my bio, or you can send me a message or a contact form to me, and I will respond.
Thank you very much.
I want to talk about some training that I am currently doing. For those who might be interested, my next class would be on the 22nd. It is integrating religion and spirituality into therapy. And I am doing a series of training for persons who are interested in having their own programs or projects with an emphasis on aggression or a related program. And you will be surprised that just about anything on the planet can be added onto an aggression program, as some people learned It could be agriculture that you are feeding the oppressed and the poor. It could be engineering, it could be research, or lots and lots of things that could be funded under this. I do have funding that is available at the right time and at the appropriate level. But people who are wishing to get funding under the programs that I am offering must be trained. And I am doing the second training. The first one was comprehensive and alternative and integrated healthcare providers. I trained, that was the first training I did. So I am encouraging people who want to have a new career or who wants to extend their career or who wants to be involved in a different way with their fellow men to help and to bring healing. They can certainly reach out concerning those courses and those programs. And so I do want to answer your question and, you know, your comment. And you know what I would say? We are like a bad penny. We keep showing up. And people look at us and say, oh, my goodness, they're still here. I thought you got rid of them. And we showed up again, and we showed up again, and we will continue showing up. You know why? Because we will inherit the earth. It is our rightful place to do so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our grace.
We're going to open up 347-788. Your mic is open.
Hello again. How you doing? Always great to hear you, Doctor. Always great to hear you. Yes, I actually agree with what you said as far as the trauma, that the trauma is long-suffering. And the only reason I agree with that is because of the work that I've been doing in this society since I've been, you know, basically came to awareness. I've worked, you know, as an HIV tester. I've worked with people that was in prison, that came out of prison. I've worked directly with mental health populations, substance abuse populations, homeless populations. And I've been seeing the trauma that actually took place in their lives, right? And the brother was saying as far as, like, because of his inner strength and inner ability, he was able to break through some of these generational curses. But when you look at statistics actually has relevancy to them. So there are documentations that states that in criminology, in the year 2030, so to speak, these amount of people are going to be homeless, these amount of people are going to be incarcerated, these amount of people are going to be affected with mental health issues. And these statistics are not far off the mark. They actually hit the mark right basically on the head, because some of us will escape out of the trap does not mean that the trap doesn't exist, right? So what you were saying is that it's really imperative that we show our people what these traps are, we reveal to them the traps, and then we help them find ways to come out of these traps, because if not, then our sons and daughters is also going to suffer from the generations of people that we left behind. So we are responsible and we are accountable to make sure that we break generational curses while we are in this time period, while we are still alive. We can't do it from the grave. We can't wait until we go to heaven and come back down as an ancestor to help our children navigate through systems that we already see as prevalent and the time span that we are alive. I was on a march the other day in New York. The march was called a march for human justice. And the march did not speak about the atrocities of homelessness in our lands, the atrocity of incarceration in our lands, the atrocity that mental health has taken place in our land due to the incarceration nature of this society, right? They try to make everything all-inclusive instead of actually pointing out the true issues that's actually causing these problems in our land. And one of the things I see is that strong men and strong women that was able to come outside of generation curses believe that they are not responsible and they are not accountable to bring forth the changes in the land, because if they're strong enough, then everybody else should be strong as well. And on that march, I've seen a display of power from black men and black women chose not to share the power and the insight that they have with those that they believe to be less fortunate or does not have the same power that they have, right? So I believe that we have to come outside of this generational curse that actually been thrust upon us to believe that we are greater than the fruits that bears us, right? The seed can never be greater than the apple. The apple can never be greater than the seed, because they need both, one another need each other to also to blossom. So they always say that you are only as strong as your weakest link. And as so-called African-American people, black people, melanated people, whatever they want to call us, right, we are only as strong as our weakest link. If we allow the weak link to pop, then eventually we will also pop as well. So it's about accountability. Me being on this march show that we have a lot of work to do and that we have to step outside of these egotistical mindsets and the levels of pride that we've been using to catapult ourselves in a very destructive and systematic society.
Thank you. And thank you for your comment. Yes, thank you. Dr. Rob?
Yes, I'm sorry. Get a little lost here. Get a little lost, but I find myself. You know, I'm sitting there looking for your number, and then I don't know how we hooked up. Put it to the age. I'm not going crazy. Put it to the age.
Get your pass. Get your pass.
There you go. There you go. So you young. You young, tall, dark, and handsome. I gotta try to be chasing that down. You know. But brother Nathaniel, man, you always hit it on the head. You know, some good thoughts, and I'm anxious to hear what Dr. Kinnerick have to say, because you got the last 5 minutes, Dr. Kinnerick.
So I'm glad. I'm really happy to have had all of us here today. There are quite a number of persons who have been listening online, and I want to let you know that there is a lot of love that is coming out to you. And I look forward to seeing you again next week, this time myself and Dr. Robinson, as we engage in very, very lively conversation. Coming up will be the genetic theory of race, and we will explore and expose the whole fast that is called genetics. In the next series, we're going to be talking about our true lineage, and then we will segue into how we could manipulate or handle our spirit so that we are more productive and successful and bring the things to us. We'll explain why it is the power of suggestion or the magnetism is not always working, why it is the positive work is not always working. Why does it get us this far and not exactly where we want to go? There are a lot of good stuff that would be happening. So tell your friends, join us again. And we're going to have a brief word from Ms.
If you can, you got a couple more minutes. There's a new caller just came in.
Okay.
You can address their issue. 340-201. Your mic is open. 340-201. Your mic is open. You're on with Dr. Yvette Kinnerick.
No, readings. I was just tuning in just now. I'm just listening in for right now.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Knerick was talking about empowering oneself and shaping destinies and just us as a people of color, things in which that have been effective environmentally and things that we can overcome as well. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
What was the question?
Dr. Knerick, we had a discussion in terms of people of color, melanin people, our conditioning that we're experiencing throughout the world and here in North America as well, and, you know, things that we can do to enhance our life and make our life better and how we can unite together as one and also look at our internal psychological, physiological situation as we go forth. So just bettering the empowering the lives and shaping the destinies of people of color and people in general. But I just wonder if you had any thoughts on, you know, we people of melanin color and as we go forth in society, you know, something that maybe one word of encouragement as well.
Well, as I said, I was just listening. I just tuned in, so I wasn't really prepared to put too much input, but I would like to say that of the Ethiopian World Federation, it speaks about effecting unity. So effecting unity, how do we effect unity? That's one of our greatest assets, to be unified as a people. Because if we are able to unite, we are able to solve our own problems, either personally or as a nation. Because we have everything that we need to have a strong community, a nation, and be strong as a people. So how do we effect unity? We have so much in common, but we tend to make the differences take precedence over our common interests. So how do we effect unity? That would be my input conversation, to effect unity amongst us as a people, because we have been divided for so much years through religious practices and through political and partisan and just different. To classism, to complexions of your skin. Just we have been divided for so much years. So my input would be, how do we effect unity? And that would be the answer to all our problems, I think. And we have the greatest minds. If we were able to survive all these years of all the injustices and all the hardship and all the everything that against us, are we still here today? I mean, we are great people. So how do we effect unity? That's the answer to all our problems, trying to come together as much as possible to solve all our problems, because the answers really lies in our hands. That's what will be my input for tonight's conversation. Thank you.
So we are going to expect to see you with us next week, and we are going to spend some serious time talking about the need for unity. We did say earlier on in the show that what happens to me affects everyone else that's around me. So it is in the interest of all of us, not just African Americans, not just Africans at home in the diaspora, not just Asian Indians, but everyone on this planet, to come to a place of peace with us and with each other for us to be successful in the world. So I would just reach out to Dr. Rob to see if he has any closing remarks, and then I'm going to hit the button on one of the songs that I would like to end with, Dr.
Okay.
Rob.
Great show, people. Do not miss every show. Dr. Knerick has some great insights to social, mental conditioning. Sometimes, like she said, we walk around depressed, not even knowing it. I know a lot of my friends have died from stress, heart attack, and was happy people. And sometimes, if you don't look internal, deeply internal to yourself,
you'll walk around and you'll find yourself in deep dire need. So I'm just telling you, it's imperative that you get on the show. It's imperative that you get your friends, your family, everybody on the show every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, 347-857-1311. And let's unify. We can come together on a program like this because we'll understand who we are and what we need to do. Thank you so much, Dr. Yvette Kinnerick. I've been empowered, and my destiny is being shaped. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rob. Thank you all, and we hope you join us again next week. Same time, same place, same dial.